Whenever you set out to follow the Lord, what you will find is that sooner or later you will face a time of testing. Here in Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, says verse 1. Just a few days before, he has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, descending upon him like a dove. And over him, the voice of God, the word of God has said, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And yet just a few days later, Christ is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he is tempted by the devil. And in Scripture, the number 40 is always associated with a time of testing. Noah, for example, before the flood, it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. When Moses went onto the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he was there for 40 days and for 40 nights. When the children of Israel sinned through unbelief, they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. And when Jonah went through the city of Nineveh, he preached 40 days throughout that city, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And here in Luke chapter 4, we have Jesus Christ in the place of testing for 40 days. And notice as Jesus Christ is in this wilderness for 40 days, it's not clear exactly, did the temptations come straight away or did they come at different times? But certainly we know from the life of Christ, this is not the only time he was tempted. On other occasions he was tempted, but here is this particular temptation is set out for us that you and I might not feel that because we are tempted, we're going through something unusual, or we're going through something that is different. So let's turn to Luke chapter 4 this morning. If you have your Bible open, you may find that useful as we look just together at these temptations of Christ. The first one is this: the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." The first temptation I want you to see is through food. It's interesting, it's through food. We read earlier from Genesis chapter 3, Adam, the first man, Adam, the representative man of the human race. How did Adam fall? He fell through food. But here is the second Adam, the new Adam, and he comes into, Adam fell in a paradise. Christ now is in a wilderness. And the temptation comes to him again through food. "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." It may be this is at the end of the 40-day period, and Christ is hungry, exceptionally hungry. This came home to me during the week. I was thinking through this passage of Scripture, and I was thinking, well, 40 days doesn't sound that long, but if you translate it into weeks, it's 5.5 weeks. Without food. It's a long period of time. He's hungry. He's tired. He's weary. And often it's at such times, is it not, that we are attacked. It's often at such times that we sin. How often have you done something and your response has been, "I'm sorry, I was tired. I'm sorry, I was hungry. I'm sorry, I was weary." Those are the times whenever we are weak for resisting temptation and we fall to sin. And the devil comes to Christ here and he says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Notice how he challenges the identity of Jesus Christ. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The essence of this temptation is this: if you really are the Son of God, would God let you go hungry like this? If you really are the Son of God, would God let you go through a trial like this? If you really are the Son of God, and if you really are someone who is connected to God in a unique and in a special way, well, surely if God loved you, he wouldn't let you be going through this. So just make bread for yourself. Again, is it not the case that temptations come and they're often phrased like this? If God loved you, He wouldn't be letting you go through this temptation, this trial. If God loved you, He'd heal you right now. If God loved you, God would give you that money that you need. If God loved you, you would get the friends you crave right now. All the time, the insinuation is, God doesn't really love you. You don't really know God. There maybe is no God. So just command these stones to become bread. Just take it into your own hands. Just do it your own way. Forget all about God. And command these stones to become bread. That was the first temptation. It wasn't a temptation that was unique to Christ. It's one that you face. And it's one that I face and have faced. And here the devil is using this hunger of Christ to get to him and to set before him this temptation. The second one is in verse 5. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. The first temptation was private. Now this is a much more public temptation. The devil shows Christ the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The world. There's a loaded word there, the world. The world with its wealth and its riches, its sights and its sounds, its smells and its tastes, its thrills and its rides. The devil says, here is the world. You can have it. I'm giving you the world. All you have to do is sell your soul and you can have it. Bow down and worship me and it's yours. Right now, the world. The temptation comes to many people, does it not, in our day and age in similar ways. You can sell your soul to money. Many's a man or woman has been tempted by money and has sold their souls to the accumulation of money. Many's a one has sold their souls to alcohol and the image that it gives to their lives. Many's a one has sold their souls to some man or to some woman, and they have given themselves away. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Casting Crowns is an American Christian band, and they have a song called Slow Fade. Here's the way one of the verses goes. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turns to gray. It's a slow fade when thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. Let me ask you lately, in your head, have there been black and white issues that have been turning gray lately? Things you would never have considered 5, 10 years ago, but now they're gray. And maybe you've been giving yourself away. That's what the devil does. The devil makes us slowly fade very often. It's very often not big dramatic temptations. It's the simple choices along life's way that take us very far away from God. Think of Esau when he came in from the field and his brother Jacob was boiling stew on the stove. And he was starving, and he said to Jacob, give me a bowl of stew. And Jacob said to him, well, first sell me your birthright, your right to know God. And he gave away his right to know God for just a bowl of stew. You giving yourself away to just a man, to just a woman, to just a bigger bank account, to just this or to just that, because the devil The devil is tempting. The devil is out to destroy you. The devil is out to tear you down and me. And he wants you and me to bow down, to respect him, to do obedience. I'll give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it'll all be yours. The third temptation, he took him to Jerusalem and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against the stone. The first temptation was private. The second temptation was public. The third temptation is in the place of religion. Notice that. We have moved from a kind of private sphere to a public sphere. Now we've gone into a religious place. Don't be thinking for a moment that temptation is out there. Temptation is also in here, in this building, in this heart, in your heart, in my heart. And often it's in the place where religion is found that the greatest temptations are to be found. Remember a preacher I heard years ago, and he said the three greatest temptations for preachers, he said, are greed, are glory, and are girls. Greed for money, glorying in yourself and in your own importance and how wonderful you are, and girls. How many have fallen to those three things? Their vanity, their flesh, and their wallets. And so here Jesus is taken to the temple, the supreme place of worship. And he is set on top of it. And the devil says, throw yourself down, because the angels will swoop in and catch you. Doesn't it say that in Psalm 91? Interesting, the devil is quoting the Bible. Let me say it again. The devil is quoting the Bible. I sometimes hear things, you know, when people say to me about some person, some preacher, oh, he quotes the Bible. Well, the devil quotes the Bible. Except here, he quotes it out of context. Here, he quotes it to abuse it. Here, he quotes it to misuse it. And he quotes Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Do you know what this temptation is? The essence of this temptation? That Christ would get ahead of God. That Christ would go ahead of God and not wait for God's time and for God's mission, but would go ahead. Many a person has done that in their lives and in their walk. Here's a believer, for example, and they're lonely. And we understand that when people are single, they get lonely. And an unbeliever asks them out. And instead of waiting on God's time and on God's person, they're tempted because they're lonely. And they think, well, if I take up with this person, sure, if it doesn't work out, God will work all things out in the end anyway, won't he? Or a business person, maybe a business is struggling, and a person, maybe their money is tight, their cash flow is down, and they're really struggling, but someone comes along with what they know is a dodgy deal. And they've tried to that point to be scrupulously honest in how they've arranged their business affairs, but now they're tight and they think, well, you know, if I get into this, God will bail me out anyway if it doesn't work out. I'm his child. And they get ahead of God. Or Moses is a biblical example of someone who went ahead of God. He assumed at the age of 40, and there's that number again. He assumed at the age of 40, when Jews reckoned that leadership maturity had come, that he was ready for leadership. So he killed the Egyptian. And for 40 years, he had to go into the desert to look after his father-in-law's sheep, to humble him that it isn't about you, Moses, setting your time. You must wait on God's time. This is very subtle. And how careful and prayerful you and I need to be in discerning God's will. We sometimes set our little test, don't we? Well, if this happens, well, it must be God's will. Well, must it? You and I must wait on God's timing, on God's will, on God's way. So these are the temptations that came to Christ, and they are exactly the same temptations that you and I face today. Secondly, I want to show you the turning point at each of these temptations, how he refutes them. I listened to someone on the radio this week, and they were talking. Sometimes these things, you get these kind of illustrations, but I was listening to this person talking about how a counselor helps them deal with their particular temptation. And the counselor told them, when you're being tempted, go for a walk. When you're being tempted, read a book. Distraction, in other words. And I'm sure there's probably some use in distracting yourself whenever temptations come your way. But it wasn't what Christ did. Each of these temptations, when they came to Christ, what he did was he quoted Scripture. To temptation one, the temptation to give up on God, to disbelieve that God loved him, Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. In Matthew's gospel, his version tells us, Christ also said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, your real life doesn't come from Mother's Pride or Hovis or Irwin's. Your real life comes from the Word of God. Could I ask you where your real life comes from? Is it your food? Is it Tesco? Is that where life comes from? Sainsbury's? The Spar? Is that where life is? Or is it in the Word of God that feeds your soul? Because you can have a full stomach and an empty soul. And Jesus says here, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Second temptation, verse 8, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the third temptation, Jesus says in verse 12, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Quoting Deuteronomy 6, the written word of God. Each time he refutes the devil with the word of God. And we live in a world where they will tell you that the Bible is out of date, the Bible is irrelevant, the Bible should be consigned to the museum. Could I ask you to remember that when Jesus here quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, he is quoting at his time at a book that was 1,400 years old. Christ refers to the book of Moses as the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. When was the last time you or I read the book of Deuteronomy? Christ knew the book of Deuteronomy and was able to quote it appropriately at the moments when these temptations came. This is a world in which you and I are living, in which there is a battle of words. Are you listening to the words of the devil, or are you listening to the words of God? We're bombarded from the first time we get up in the morning, we turn the radio on, from the words of the world. The TV, they're bombarding us, podcasts, downloads, they're bombarding us with their words. Let me ask you, whose words are you listening to? Christ is clearly here listening to the words of God, and he is able to quote from Deuteronomy. And he gives a master class in how to answer temptation. Let me give you some examples. Suppose the devil is tempting you to unhappiness. Unhappiness with your life. You look at others and you wish you were like them. You're jealous of their lives. Well, is there a scripture? You mightn't know much of the Bible, but you know Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you have the Lord, you've got all you need. Mightn't have all you want, but you've got all you need. Take your stand upon the word of God, the Lord is, and say back to the devil, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Or you're tempted to lose your temper. That car in front, that kid in the queue, that caller on the phone. Is there a scripture in those circumstances? Well, doesn't it help to remember the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control? Because when you're out of control, you're out of the Spirit. So you've got to practice self-control. And I'm preaching that to myself. Well, you're tempted in maybe working for the Lord that you're doing it all in your own strength. It's going to be easy peasy. Whatever job you've been asked to do in the congregation, maybe. Does it not help to remember John 15? Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. The devil is tempting you to pride. The devil is tempting you to vanity. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. How we need to remember that the arm of flesh will fail. And as I say, the only reason Christ was able to quote these scriptures was because he was familiar with the scriptures, like the book of Deuteronomy. They reckon nowadays that the average person in the UK watches television 3 hours a day. That's 21 hours a week. That's average. Yet church is an hour on a Sunday. The teaching time is only maybe half an hour. If you come to the midweek, there's another half an hour. If you come to the evening service, there's another half an hour. So let's say the teaching time in church is an hour and a half, and yet we can manage 21 hours on the TV. And that's only the TV. We haven't talked about other screens. And yet somehow we wonder why we can't resist temptation. Somehow we wonder how whenever we're tested, when we're put through trials, our faith just collapses. It's because we don't know God's word. We're not prepared to give ourselves morning and evening and midweek to the word of God. We're listening to the world and to the words that the world are firing at us. So we've talked about the temptations of Christ, the turning point each time, his use of scripture. Lastly, the triumph, verse 14. For Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout the surrounding country. One of the depressing things about temptation, and I hope today you go away from the service and you don't think temptation is just like having that extra chocolate you shouldn't have. Temptation is much more serious than that. And one of the depressing things about temptation is caving into it. The famous quote by Oscar Wilde, I can resist everything except temptation. And all too often, we do just cave in. You do just, give up with the consequences being guilt and shame and feelings of being useless and worthless. But Jesus here leaves the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And notice it says in the power of the Spirit, not in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. For the good news is that in Christ there is a power. In Christ there is, when he said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And all those who are in Christ Jesus have this power. Paul Tripp says, your Lord is in you. He is with you. He is for you. Right here, right now. So with gospel courage, keep walking forward in faith, knowing that there is no valley of suffering so deep that God's grace in Christ doesn't go deeper. It's not what I said to the children in the children's talk. Little wooden man inside the glass vase, he was in Christ. He was covered, he was protected, he was strong. Christ was his all in all. And being in Christ is where your strength is found, trusting him and his power. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I need the power of Christ to keep me, to surround me, to help me, to triumph for me. because ultimately he triumphed on the cross. He triumphed on the cross. The devil is trying to destroy Christ's identity. He's trying to keep Christ back from going to the cross. He's trying to get him to short-circuit the cross. Just go for power now. Why wait to the cross? But Jesus was strong. Jesus stood up. Resist the devil, says the Apostle Peter, and he will flee from you. And Jesus here returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the countryside. It's a wilderness out there. It's a dangerous wilderness. The world is a place that is seeking to rake your soul and to pull you down. It's a world of subtle temptations and not so subtle temptations. It's a world where temptation very often has a human face. It's standing right in front of you. Like Jesus said to Peter, "Go away from me, Satan." Sometimes it's the people around you who can prove to be the greatest temptation. Sometimes your friends or your family can be the greatest tempters. But the Holy Spirit is a power to help us resist temptation. God's word is a weapon for us to use. And God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, says Paul in Corinthians. He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. We need not live in defeat. We need not live totally destroyed all the time. Jesus Christ is the one in whom we have the victory. He kept his identity. He fulfilled his mission to the cross. And you too can keep your identity as a child of God. You too can keep your mission, whatever God has called you to do for him. But only in the Lord's power, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That is where resistance to the devil and where the help of God is to be found. But what if you're not a Christian today? What if you're not a Christian? Well, without Christ, you have no hope of overcoming sin and temptation and the devil. No hope. On the cross, Christ did it. And when he rose on the third day, he showed the enemies were destroyed. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength, my song. Turn to Christ today. Believe on Christ and find your strength in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, for this precious gospel and for this precious insight into the temptations faced by Jesus. Father, we thank you that here we have warning. Here we have encouragement. Here, Father, we have hope of success. And we thank you, Lord, that in you there is a power that is able to provide for us, to keep us, and we give thanks and praise for that. Lord, we ask that you'll continue to help us think over, Lord, these portions of your word, and help us, Heavenly Father, we pray, to know most of all Christ, to be in Christ. And, Father, to know that when we are in him, we, Father, are provided for. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.